Today, we're joined by Samira and TJ Sagari to talk about what's been happening in their own lives as activists and also an update on Saratoga BLM. Welcome both to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
The Daily Gazette has a headline out that BLM activists confront outgoing Saratoga Springs officials one more time at Tuesday's meeting. Samira, you read a timeline of activist interactions with local police. And I was just wondering if for us, you could highlight some of those interactions and why it was important to point out at this city council meeting that you feel the council has provided no accountability.
You know, I just wanted to touch on, you know, legacy and talk about what they're really leaving behind. And, you know, I started off with our timeline and I talked about July 30th in 2020 when we were shot with pepper bullets during a Back to Blue protest. You know, I talked about June 28th, 2021 when Catone and Robin Dalton, assistant chief and outgoing public safety commissioner, sat side by side, fear mongering. They were blaming us on fights on Caroline Street and increase of violence. I talked about the quote in the Times Union, how it was, they delivered a rant filled with racist dog whistles. July 6th, when they blocked the entrance to city council. Then following that, Mayor Meg Kelly was threatening to have us arrested if we continued to verbally agree with people doing public comment saying, July 14th, when people were arrested. In response to that press conference, talks about August 31st, when Daryl Mount, his deadly encounter with SSPD and warrants were signed for BLM leaders. September 7th, 2021, when I was arrested and Lexus and Chandler and many other people for misdemeanors and violations on warrants that could have been court summons, traumatizing children, Lexus children, and, you know, causing bodily harm to people. I talked about Madigan's $35,000 mediation. Our commissioner of finance wanted to pay $35,000 just to have a conversation with BLM. And that's when it all went downhill. City council started responding and breaking rules. And that's when, you know, every line of, you know, the white supremacy book came out and she called us you people. She was gaslighting us. Meg Kelly was gaslighting us. And, you know, they really ended the night on their legacy.
Michelle Madigan's quoted in the Daily Gazette as, "You people are abusive." That list sounds like activists have been through a lot. What's your response to reading that list of events? And also, how do you move forward into the next city council coming off of all of these happenings?
When I heard her use the word abusive, and describe people voicing their concerns, people using their voices to help uplift other people, help lift the stories of those who we're now demanding justice for, such as Daryl Mount, and do it in a way where we're not getting any positive interactions back. We're not having much, I don't know, constructive dialogue. And then when people become angry and people show up and they're passionate about what they're talking about, to label that as abuse, to label that as anything other than what it is truly damaging for this community. And I feel like it shows what these people are really in these jobs for and what they're looking to get out of them. And I think yesterday was just a clear, perfect depiction of showing how they don't really care about their community members. And not only we're trying to do and help other people, but what they can do and their impact on this town and this community. And I think just moving forward, it's about continuing this dialogue and continuing it in a positive way where we're not just talking at each other, but we're talking with each other and we're coming up with solutions together and listening to one another and understanding one another.
We're hoping that with the next city council, you know, we can have actual dialogue and talk to each other like humans, which we have a few times already. You know, and we already have seen some changes already, and they're not even in office yet. So we're hoping that that continues. And, you know, it still means that, you know, we'll show up and still talk about what we feel is important.
And when you talk about like showing up to these city council meetings, how do you organize and how do you prepare and keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening at city council meetings in Saratoga Springs?
A lot of times we just put a post out and we hope that people come and just do a public comment and talk about all the things that have been happening and are still happening. As well, we look at the agendas and make sure we know what's going on. You know, a lot of times there'll be hearings about certain things like the CPRB, or just like 2 weeks ago, they were approving stuff for assistant chief, and they ended up going through with making Bob Gilson the assistant chief, which is the spokesperson and the same person who talked about we have different rights than shoppers and diners on July 14th. There's a lot of important things that happen in city council. And, you know, we just hope that concerned citizens just like us come out and just talk about what's going on in their city.
Can you each just talk a little bit about how you became activists in this movement for Black Lives in Saratoga Springs?
Our activism started way before we even came to Saratoga. It started when we began organizing in our own hometown of Clifton Park and with other students of Shenandoah School District. And, you know, following that, we heard about a protest in Saratoga for to lift up the story of Darryl Mount. And we went, showed up, and that was when we first saw Lex and Chandler and heard what they had to say. I don't even know how long it was after that when we really like got involved with them.
Yeah, it was like a few, like a week or so. And then, you know, they came to our next event.
Right, and helped us out there.
Yeah, yep, the All of Us team. And then we joined them. And then, you know, a few months following, we ended up making our own group, or Arch Street happened, you know, our encampment in Arch Street, which there's still no justice for. And Lex is still facing charges. And his only plea deal is jail time, which is the only plea that has been given to anyone on Arch Street. Shortly after that, we formed Saratoga BLM, and you know, that's what brought us here.
Now, you both have been activists for relatively a short period of time, but probably have been through it. You've been arrested. The state attorney general's office is investigating the city police of Saratoga Springs. Do you have any words of wisdom from your experience as activists to someone listening to this interview who wants to speak up but doesn't quite know how?
It's actually funny because I remember going to a bunch of protests, and then I remember going actually to the Saratoga protest that TJ just mentioned, and I came back home and I said to TJ, we should do a protest in Clifton Park. And TJ was like, then why don't you just do one? And then that's when I was like, okay, then I'll just do one. You know, like there's so many times in my life where I have spoken up and I haven't been heard, or, you know, I wish I spoke up and I didn't. And I just took that step and I went with my gut and I just did what I thought was important. And just to add on that, I always talk about the youth. And I always talk about how there's so many amazing youth that I've met so far that speak up. And that's the stuff that keeps me going. And that's the stuff that I feel is so important, because they're doing stuff that I never thought I could do at their age.
Yeah. And for me, I'd say two things is that, one, I just feel like everyone has to know their voice matters. Everyone's opinion can help someone else in a way that maybe they're not aware of, and you really won't find out until you say what you have to say, you use your own voice, and you do what you have to do. And secondly, I just think it's never too late in life to like get involved in this scene. And every day is a new day, and you can choose any day that you want to move forward on this path and get involved in it. And then from there, it's just a series of consecutive choices where you keep choosing to engage in this. And you keep choosing to follow this, even if it is difficult and it comes with hardships, you know that in the end, it makes a difference.
And you two are siblings. Has activating in politics brought you closer?
I mean, I guess, but we've always been really close.
Yeah, we've definitely always been very close. After everything we have been through, like after I was arrested and, you know, TJ watched my live, and within 3 hours, because he lives in Vermont where he goes to school, he was there in Albany. And, you know, it was really hard seeing him get arrested for the first time. You know, all of these things that we all go through are a lot. They're stressful. They're traumatizing. It's a lot of anxiety. Definitely got us closer than we already were.
It is traumatizing. You've been through a lot. What keeps you going? What makes you want to continue the fight and not be silenced?
I think for me, it's just knowing that it makes a difference, whether I can see it tangibly or not, whether it's like results with the actual police task force or the city council or whatever, or whether it's something like
getting justice for Daryl Mao, right, or like investigation,
or even someone like who I haven't talked to for a while coming up to me and saying how like they've seen what we're doing and how it's motivating them to get involved in this work. I feel like seeing that for me really makes a difference.
And lastly, what brings you hope for 2022? You have a new mayor coming in, a new city council, Democratic led. Does that matter?
I hope for an actual police review board. I hope we could have civil conversations and change, more money for the homeless, which is something we've talked about for a very long time. We have a free fridge. We have free food and hats and clothes. I hope for an investigation in Daryl Mount so we can get some answers for his family.
I think just what brings me hope is it seems like we're going to be working with a group of people who are going to try to understand us more and just have this dialogue and then turn that into action.